dare great things for Christ. Christ calls us to dare great things. In the marketplace, as well as in the mission field, there has never been a time like the present for the spirit of the Catholic entrepreneur. Now is the time for men and women of great courage and great vision to engage our church and our culture. Now is the time to dare great things. And here is your host as we dare great things, Father Nathan Cromley, the president and founder of the St. John Institute.
Whether we like it or not, all of us have to work every day. So what's the secret to working with satisfaction and fulfillment? In this third segment in our series on the four anchors, I explore what work could look like when it's anchored soundly in our identity as who we are. And in particular, I take a look at how that identity of who we are is given to us in a profound way from our family. Just as our family can be anchored in God, our work can be anchored in our family and the values that they give us. You know, I really love doing this series with you and looking deeply at these, what I call the four anchors. And I remember where this is coming from. I've been, you know, many different places in the country and around the world. And I've seen that wherever you have a vision of work as being good, you know, essentially a part of your identity and something that you're proud of, you also have happiness. It's almost like the way that we look at the world of productivity, of business, of professional life, of our careers, reflects the way that we look at our own lives. And a culture that embraces the challenges and sacrifices of toil and labor as something that allows them to realize themselves, well, it's going to be a culture that really is a culture of success. I know many small towns in rural America where it's hard to move there because either the land that is never put up for sale is just passed down from generation to generation with children who don't want to leave that part of the country because it's so good and the life there is so good for them. Or on the other hand, it's immediately bought up and held by people at values beyond what you could afford. And why do people want to live in these small towns, for example? Why do people not want to move away? And it's because the lifestyle there, forged in work, is so healthy and attractive that people simply want to live that way. And that's an amazing thought for us. Because on the other hand, I know all kinds of areas in the country where people are simply not happy at all with themselves or their sense of self, and where the children can't wait to move away. And you say, it's almost like wherever you see the productive labors of the human person as being integrated into who they are, you're going to have a happy culture. You're also going to see people who want to be a part of that. Because just on the flip side, to the degree that you have work being a part of the culture, of the part of the human person who's doing it, such that they love what they do, well, you're also going to find wealth and prosperity. I mean, it's like the three go together. Identity, work, and the result of that work and prosperity. And if you can align your work with your identity, most of the time, you're going to be able to align your identity with prosperity, because anyone who engages in their work as if it came from them, someone who's proud of their work and puts their last name on what they do, well, that work is going to be done well. There's an intrinsic demand when you put your identity into your work, not saying that your work exhausts your identity, but linking your last name, you know, your sense of self, the pride of your family with what you produce. Well, of course, your production is going to, what's going to reflect that same pride. It's amazing to think that when we see what work is an expression of the human person. So I will be putting out there for others to see and to receive something that comes from me. So if I'm schooled and taught that what comes from me, well, is a reflection upon who I am, well, of course, I'm going to do a good job. And so it's amazing also when you look at a lot of times in rural America, you've got the flourishing of trades, which are done well. from the food quality that you find in people's kitchens, which oftentimes is better than in restaurants, to the pride of the trades that you find flourishing there, where people don't want to simply get the job done fast, but they want to do it right. Sometimes using techniques and tools that have been, you know, looked beyond in a society that's looking more for efficiency than for quality. And yet they say, no, this building will last, 100 years. Why? Because that's the way I built it. And when you go in through old barns, for example, and you look at this wood that was hewn by hand, even joined by hand, like cutting the holes out, with a drill itself, then here it is still standing, still intact, still looking beautiful 120, 150 years later. It just kind of takes your breath away. And you realize, well, that's how they built these things. They built them as if it was a reflection of who they were. And wherever you find that, man, boy, do you find the best products. And of course, the prosperity that comes with it. And I want to examine that, because beyond just the practicality of it, I think there's a profoundly Christian message for us. Because that, as Christians, we remember that God put us on the earth in part to work. When he created Adam, for example, he put him in the garden. Remember what he said? He puts him in the garden in order to till the garden, to work the garden, and so that it could produce fruit, right? So he's literally there perfecting the earth by his work. And one of the penalties for sin that Adam has to endure is that his work will be now turned to toil that will be fruitless. He will plant seeds and he will yield thistles. And that's looked at upon as a punishment for Adam, as it is for us to this day. But how amazing to look back and realize that work is a part of our human life that God himself gave. And this is important. We live in a world today where oftentimes in our culture and in our minds even, we can look upon work as a purely utilitarian thing or something that we could do anonymously, because we work for big corporations or we work for big machines that in the end, can deprive us of that sense of self that says, no, my work is a reflection of me. Because we can be removed from the actual product that we're making by tools that are so complex that the result is the more of the work is more of a result of the tool than of our direct efforts. And when we use the word tool, of course, you can use the same thing for systems, for policies, for procedures. We live in a world where the demand for efficiency has replaced the demand for quality. And since the demand for efficiency has risen so strongly, it can dehumanize our labor force. And this is what's happened for a lot of individuals and a lot of Christians. So you end up feeling like work really has nothing to do with me. But you know, when you're in that situation, that's not a good spot to be in. Because when you look at the numbers, you spend nearly half of your waking life at work. Can any of us afford to spend half of their waking life in an activity that we don't think actually enhances who we are? Well, no. I mean, it's going to do violence to who we are. And yet that's where we find ourselves so many times. And I want to hear speak about the value that comes with finding ways to link what we do every day in our productive activity, be it at a career, at a job, at a self-employed business, or be it at home, in the domestic care of children, in the domestic care of the household. Whatever we're doing in terms of productivity needs to be linked back to our identity. And I want to show you ways to do that. And the reason for that foundationally is because that's the plan that God had for work. So let's look at that first.
Would you like to hear more from Father Nathan? Join the St. John Leadership Network and receive a 2-minute glance at the gospel every Sunday morning right to your phone. To learn more, go to www.stjohnleadershipnetwork.org/member and join for free today.
So like in anything, we're asking the question, how is it that God wants us to work? And the answer, he wants our work to be an extension of our identity. Okay, so practically put, this means if I could let the values that I espouse in my family become the values that I take into my workplace, well, then I'll connect what I do at work with who I am as a person. I'll be able to sign off on what I do every day with my first and last name, as if it represented something that was bigger than just an effort to make money for, you know, the owner of the company. And this is my dignity as a Christian, and I have the right to do that because I'm a human person and I'm spiritual. You know, there's a different way of looking at it. For example, a lot of people look at their time at work and saying, basically, I'm just selling my life away. My life is worth $25 an hour, and I'm going to sell it to whatever owner of the company it is, and I'll do what they tell them for me to do, and then I'll go home and reclaim my life with some profit behind. All I've done is I've lost 8 hours of my existence, but I got paid for that 8 hours of my existence, and in the end, that's all I'm really worth anyway. Well, but that's not a Christian way of looking at it. And when you look at areas of the country where work is held in high esteem as a reflection of the dignity of the worker, wow, you find something else. You find prosperity. You find pride. You find a culture that embraces work as if it was more than just something making something else. It's almost like work takes on a sacred significance, a spiritual significance of Christians who are transforming their world in a beautiful way to make it better by the labor of their hands. And so there's like an intangible quality that you find wherever you find a good working culture. You find cleanliness, you find punctuality, you find better customer service, you find teamwork, you find jobs getting done that otherwise aren't even on their job descriptions. If you were to manage your work team, for example, to really look at what they do as if it came from God and as if it was something that they should be proud of, I mean, gosh, it's the dream of every employer to have a workforce that wants to be at work. I mean, it'd be incredible, right? Just imagine what the difference that would make. Instead of dragging their feet or looking for ways to sue you, if instead they were looking for ways to help you because they literally found that what they were doing was important to who they were. This is the story of success of so many great businesses and companies, is to make that switch in their workforce where the employees actually care about the company that employs them and want to see it succeed, because in the end, they realize that the company cares about them and that being there every day is more than just getting stuff done and making goods and services. That is actually part of who they are and the pride that they take in themselves. Now, it's a lot to do that, right? And sometimes it's impossible and sometimes our settings aren't there, but that's the Christian goal. A Christian should work differently than anyone else because a Christian has the sense that their identity comes from God is deployed and engaged in everything that they do, including, and I would even say especially, in their work. And if I own a company or I manage a team of people and I do so in the name of Christ, well, I need to make sure that my workers can do just that. And that they're not treated like anonymous, you know, cogs in the machine that just are there to make the wheel spin. It's something much more than that. It's an opportunity for me when I'm a manager or I'm an owner to look at my people from the gaze of God, of saying, why has God brought them here? What good can they do? And how can I facilitate this employee to give the very best of themselves towards this job? Okay, all of that is basically anchoring the experience of work into the realities of identity. Now, why is this important? It's important because I really think that there's a recipe, a Christian recipe for success, and even on an earthly plane, that is can be described in terms of four anchors, right? The foundation of all things being God, who is, of course, the source of all things excellent, all right? And if I could take my family reality and say my family reality is infused with God, well, then our relationships are going to be infused with a divine love that does nothing to destroy what's natural and good, but actually perfects everything. We're going to love each other like God loves each other, forgive each other like God forgives us. You know, we're going to build one another up with a perspective that my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my child is made for the infinite. I mean, what a neat idea to see that our family on earth would already be kissed, so to speak, with the hope of the eternal life that they'll have in heaven. I mean, it'd be incredible. Well, that's the same thing when it comes to the work that we have to do every day. I mean, what's the work going to be rooted in? What is it that gives work value? What is it that allows work to be something that makes you proud to have done it? Well, just as a family is rooted in God, and because it's rooted in God, it has a sense of itself that transcends anything the culture could ever do or the state could ever say to try to define it. Well, in the same way, if our work is not rooted in our family values, then what is it rooted in? I mean, what is defining how you approach your workspace? I love to tell you guys this all the time. You need to look at what you do as if you were sent here on earth to do it. We tend to have a view of work that's much smaller, more myopic than anything that God ever proposes for us. I mean, just look at the difference. You could say, I'm working in order to give other, you know, the people with capital to enrich them and to just be paid for hours of my life so that I can survive and maybe go out to a baseball game from time to time. Okay, that's, I mean, like, you can look at your workspace that way if you'd like, but why would you? Instead, you could say, I've been sent to do this job as my gift back to God. And what I'm doing, I get to do and should do to the very best of my abilities because it's an expression of who I am, my intelligence, my dedication, my creativity. What I put on the outside is a reflection of what I have on the inside. And therefore, I'm doing this for something much more than money. You can never pay me enough because in fact, what I'm doing is expressing my identity. Okay, that latter position, that's the way that the Christian church should or wants to promote. We want to help you to discover that. You say, well, how do I get there? And I say, you get there by looking at what you're doing every day as something and rooted in something bigger than yourself. The first place is in your family. I'm working as a dad of this family, as a mom of this family, as a son of this family. And therefore, what I do reflects back on values that no school or program or club could ever inculcate in me. My dad taught me how to work. My mom showed me how to work. My brothers were there at my side in my workplace. Now, you could say, well, this is very ideal, and today we have broken families, and nobody knows how to do that anymore. I'd say, yeah, it is ideal. It is ideal. In many places, this doesn't exist. And yet, to the degree that it can, and to the degree that you're parents of your families, you need to help the children to see this, that work is part of the pride of who they are. From the way that they clean the room, to the way that they set the table, to the way that they celebrate and prepare for an event, to the way that you care for your lawn. All these little things, which are very human, how they give a value to a worker. And I think if you listen to any employer, any owner of a company, boy, do they ever love to have people who come with family values about work deeply etched into their being. Because no matter where they put them, they know the tools are going to be taken care of. The job site's going to be clean. They're going to keep their word and be honest. They're going to treat their fellow worker as an extension of the family values that they have. It's just common sense that if you are good in your family and you can take what is good about your family and bring it as an extension into the workplace, you're going to lift up the workplace by bringing human values into it that transcend anything you could put into a contract. I want workers working for me who don't just do what's in their job description, but go beyond with a smile and with human values and excitement and enthusiasm and new ideas. Well, you can't force that into a paycheck. That comes from people who are proud of what they do because they see what they do as coming from who they are. And that value is taught, first of all, in the families. So I'm calling upon all you as parents to stop isolating the value of work from your kids. Teach them how beautiful work can be and how proud they need to be of it so that when they take their first job and they go into the workforce, they go in there like members of your family and they take that same education you gave them about work and they bring it into our world. Why? Because those values that come from your family are a reflection of God. Your family rooted in faith, your work rooted in your family, roots your work in faith by the values that are brought there through the workers.
Would you like to start your Thursday mornings with a scriptural leadership lesson? Join the St. John Leadership Network, where Father Nathan hosts a 30-minute call at 6:30 a.m. in all four U.S. time zones. To learn more, go to www.com. www.stjohnleadershipnetwork.org/member and join for free today.
So hopefully you get what I'm trying to talk about here in terms of how it's so important to bring our families as the places where we teach our children how to work and how to work well. And of course, like again, families can be broken. Sometimes this is impossible. Sometimes it's too late. But even if you're a grandparent, I mean, bringing your kids outside with you and teaching them the value of putting in a hard day under the sun, or bringing your grandchildren out there to do little tasks with you to the degree that they can, teaching them how to use a drill, teaching them how to use a saw, teaching them how to sweep up the floor after they're done. I mean, even something like when you're cooking, how to do the dishes while you're cooking so that the dishes don't pile up at the end. Or making sure that they do the dishes after they finish making the dish, because that's part of the work. You know, there's all these little human lessons that we can put in there. But when we do that, what are we doing? We're doing more than training our children on how to work. We're teaching them how to work as a human action that has values in it that transcend what is purely practical. We're trying to say, in other words, that your faith in God, who has given you dignity, ought to be reflected in the workplace by the dignity that you bring to whatever you do at your job. That if you're there as a worker, you're there as a member of that family with your last name. And the member of that family with your last name is defined by your faith. See how that works? It's really important because sometimes people get a little bit sensitive saying, I don't know about bringing religion into the workplace, Christianity into the workplace. And I have to say, well, I mean, I can understand that. Like, the workplace needs to be a place where we respect everybody's opinions and everybody's position on things. But you can bring and you must bring Christ in the workplace by bringing your values into the workplace and the way that you work. And I mean, if you can, you know, proclaim his name, then you do. But if you can't, you still proclaim his name by the way that you approach what you do. And our world is in vast need of the Christian witness to money, to work, to prosperity. Otherwise, we're going to be dominated once again by a purely materialistic vision that says that work is some sort of evil to be avoided. And that if we could take private property away from our citizens, it might even be better. We'll just give them a paycheck, you know, without giving them the dignity of laboring for it. And when you do that, you've actually diminished things. Because we've lost, without the Christian message, how will we keep a Christian vision of work present in our world? I don't think it's possible. I think you got to root that work deeply into the family and anchor it there, because that's how you keep the work with all of its dignity. So how do you do that practically? Well, number one, I just want to say this because I think it's important, is to help your children by educating them through their first jobs. While they're still at home, I think it's a good idea. In general, each family has to make up their own decisions on this, but in general, it's a really good idea to be there to guide your children as they take their first jobs. Don't let them go through all of high school without ever having had to work for somebody, because there, now you've totally isolated who they are from what they're going to have to do the rest of their lives. But while they're in the family, educate them in that work. Get them, encourage them, have them do two jobs, see how they balance it. Be there for them when they need to talk about what's happening in the workspace, about the challenges that they're facing, about their fears and anxieties. To parent children through their first jobs is really a very important gift. But of course, it's more than that. I mean, work is more than just jobs. Work is a sense of owning what you have. And so as the children grow, I think it's a really great thing for parents and grandparents. Of course, you're never really done parenting to the degree that you can, to insist that the child own things that are their own and that therefore that they care for them. It all starts, of course, with making your bed, keeping a cleanly room, ironing your clothes, right? And maybe there's even ways, I know some families that will actually say, you know what, we'll buy you what's adequate for you, but if you want something nicer, you can pay for that extra yourself. And then, so they'll give the child a good pair of shoes, but like a basic pair of shoes. And of course, the child wants a fancy pair of shoes. So they say, well, we'll give you this much. We'll give you a basic one. If you want that fancy one, you can work for it. So the children are therefore saving up money and learning how to value that distance between what's simply nice and adequate to what they might really want. But they learn to value that because they put sweat equity into it. And then, of course, they're going to take care of that because it's their very own. That's a very big life lesson that we can give to our children by allowing them to experience what it's like to not have something and to then have to work in order to obtain it. Because that's what they're going to have for the rest of their lives. What a valuable thing for you to be able to give that poverty its dignity of smiling and saying, you know what, it's not a problem that you don't have because you have the freedom and the skills to gain what you do have. I mean, isn't this what God does for us? I mean, he gives us a world, but then he says it's up to you to make the world better. And so, of course, you do because you realize that that's part of your identity in God. Well, we do the same thing with our children and our family. A third little tip that can help you as parents to create a sense of the dignity of work in your family is to show your children and teach your children the value of manual labor. And I mean from doing the dishes to folding the laundry to cleaning the windows, right, to mowing the lawn, to taking care of the farm animals if you have any, to washing the dog. Do it yourself and do it with them. One of the most important ways to show and to inculcate a dignity of work is by example. Your children seeing you take pride in what you own, right? Washing the car yourself and teaching them to do it. Instead of just farming out every task that we have to other people who could do it for us, when we do it with our own hands, we show and bring the value of that labor into the depths of the family. So in any of these three ways, these little tips, it comes down to the same thing. God made man and woman capable of working, and he gave them the commandment to work. This comes from God. And we get to work as men and women, possessing a soul, right? And being made in the image and likeness of God. We're reminded of that in our families when we root our work in our family values so that our work is an expression of our identity. And then that fills the world of work with the dignity that it should have as something that comes from God.
Dare great things for Christ.
Share your feedback with Father Nathan. Send us an email at communications@stjohninstitute.org. That's communications@stjohninstitute.org. And visit www.stjohninstitute.org and sign up for our newsletter to receive updates from Father Nathan.